Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We have been talking about learning to differentiate the different voices that we hear, especially when we are learning to hear the Lord's voice. Whenever we set out to know God, we are going to be coming up against our enemies, because we're not a threat to our enemies when we're not trying to know God. But as soon as we set our hearts and our minds and our habits to knowing Him, right then we become a threat to the kingdoms that our enemies have set up within us. So, Lord, right now, we ask that you expose the kingdoms that have been set up in our lives by our enemies. Reveal any area that you want us to exercise authority over, or any wound or area that you want to bring our attention to show that you are doing the work. Lord, any of those areas, we just take authority over them right now. We exercise the authority. You must go now. You must go where Jesus sends you. If you have no legal right to be here, you have no right to be here. You must go now. Now, if for whatever reason you have a right to be here, to be involved in my life, our lives, our household, our past, our present, our future, our families, you must be still now so that God can speak clearly and we can hear clearly. You cannot interfere with what God is going to do during this program. And Lord, anything that we're setting aside in the corner, I ask that at the appointed time, you remind us to deal with those enemies that we have learned to cohabitate with. Lord, we want everything in our lives to be spirit, to be eternal life, to receive unconditionally what you give unconditionally, to be in you, with you, and receiving complete life from you. So, Lord, just bring to our mind or our emotions, or even our memories, any area that you want to address, either now or later. And if he does that, just write it down. A memory, a person, an emotion. And it can be simple. You might not know where it is coming from, anger or hurt or a thought. It may not have an emotion with it, or you may not understand what it is. A lot of times God takes us to where he wants to go by going around it. Instead of just taking us from point A to point G, we go to B, C, D, E, F first, because that's how he'll get us to where he wants us to go. So whatever it is he brings to your thoughts or your memory, your emotions, any images he gives you, just write it down. And then we're just going to test it. Lord, is that you? Now there's going to be three responses, either yes, no, or silence. It's going to be very rare that you hear maybe. If you hear maybe, that's a no. That's a no, it's not God. God doesn't say, well, maybe. And even if you hear yes, you're going to test that. Because you know what? The enemy likes to copy God. And because we don't have real good discernment, we fall for it a lot. Which is why we learn to test and develop good judgment and discernment. So, Lord, is that you? If you heard yes, let's test that again. Lord, is that you? Now, if he says yes, you'll know, okay, this is the direction you're going to go in. But on either one of those times, the first time we asked him, the second time we asked him, if you get silence or no or something else, it's not him. And so we ask, Lord, is this an interference? And you'll get the yes or no, or maybe or silence. Lord, is this something we can take authority over right now? Again, yes, no, silence, or something else. Lord, is that you? And just start taking what you're hearing and writing it down. The goal here is not to create a step-by-step guide, a formula or an outline. Instead, it's more like you have different ingredients. And the combination is going to depend on what the situation is. But the more comfortable you become with handling the different ingredients and the different tools, you'll learn to more easily recognize God himself. And this is one of the real helpful places where we learn to not be afraid of making mistakes. Because there's going to be times when you're going to hear yes. You're going to ask God, is that you? And you're going to hear yes. And you're going to find out later that it wasn't. And vice versa. And that's fine. And that's really one of the most valuable things you can learn, is to not worry about getting it right, getting it perfect. This is why we practice. Not so we can become perfect, but so that we can develop habits. And what is the habit we're learning? We're not going to do this ourselves. We're going to turn to God. This is not about developing a good approach. Okay, when God says this, I say that. If it's this kind of an interruption or interference, this is how we handle that. No, we don't do that. This is all about relationship and the habit that we are developing is to turn to him. Turn to God, not try to do it ourselves, not try to figure it out, not try to rely on our own recollection or instruction, what good of a message we've received, what good teaching we've received. or even revelation. Even though God reveals something to you, that doesn't mean you are to rely on that revelation. Instead, we rely on Him. He is our God. He is our Father, our relationship, our brother, our life. This is not about doing spirit. It's about living as spirit. Receiving, breathing in, swallowing, being filled with spirit, eternal life that changes us. And we've talked about the two most important things God needs from us. And if we can get these two things down, we will be so in the zone with God. It's giving Him our time and attention. We give Him time for Him to heal our wounds, bring our self-life under spirit, to reveal truth, to sharpen our senses, sharpen our discernment, reveal Himself. We give Him our attention by cooperating with what He's doing. When He teaches us, when He teaches you, be aware there's probably going to be a test. There's probably going to be an opportunity to put into effect what you have just learned. Yay. That's the whole point, is that we just don't know it. We're not after more teaching. We want to be more fully engulfed in Him, more fully our soul and body in line with our spirit, so that eternal life just flows right through us, unencumbered, where we absorb what we need and the rest just keeps going. We have no idea. Our mind and our heart can hardly comprehend, probably can't comprehend at all, what God desires for us here on this earth, in this life, now. Let's not put off till tomorrow, till next year, till after death, to experience and enjoy what God has for us right now. And this is where, as we challenge some of our beliefs, as God challenges our beliefs, what's more important? That you believe the right thing, or that you know God? Once you have experienced Him and learned to return to Him over and over, once your thirst is satisfied and your hunger, you will simply want more of Him. But this comes by experience, not by anointing or gifting or being in the presence of somebody who has anointing or gifting, but by being in His presence. So it's time and attention, and by spending that time and giving Him our attention, we develop the habits, so that every time something happens, we don't know You know, what's going on? God, you know, why did I just lose my job? Why did this happen? Why do I, you know, why am I struggling in this area? We go to him. We ask him those questions. We don't go to our pastor. We don't go to a book. We don't go into our psychology. Oh, this is just random. It doesn't mean anything. Everybody got laid off. Every opportunity in your life is about turning to God. Because what is it that you're turning? Certainly not your spirit. Your spirit is already fully one with God, with God's spirit. Your spirit doesn't have to move at all. Your spirit is already fully receiving God. And your body just follows whoever's in control, whether it's spirit or soul. So what's the real struggle here? What's our real challenge? It's our self-life. It's our soul doing things its own way. And God knows that. God knows he gave you the soul he wanted you to have. And again, we're just looking at the soul as the mind, the will, and the emotions. And each one of us has each one of those. But he gives us strengths and weaknesses. And character and temperament. And each one of us is different, but given by God. And before we became Christians, your soul took on the duty, responsibility, the necessity of being God. Because without spirit, your soul could not access spirit. Without your spirit being enlivened, again, before you became a Christian, before you were born again, you were dead in your spirit. But you still needed life from outside. Your soul took on the job of getting that life for you. And it would get it in whatever way was convenient or possible or satisfying. And it would often depend on your circumstances, on your character, on your even physical body. And sometimes your soul would get life and be God according to your weaknesses. Not just your strengths. For example, rather than trying to fit in, your soul may say, I'm going to be God in this situation and make sure nobody expects me to fit in. It's all about your soul trying to be God. Because until your spirit is born again, you're re-spirited, your spirit is re-lived, you did not have access to God. Now, does that mean that God doesn't reveal himself? All the time. God reveals himself all the time in whatever way he chooses. But revealing isn't giving life. When Moses went up to the mount to get the Ten Commandments, he spoke with God and was in God's presence. And when he came down with the tablets, his face shone. There was a light that was manifest. People recognized a change in him. But it faded. There was nothing Moses could do to keep that light there. So when God was, when Moses was in God's presence, there was something that was part of Moses that responded to the presence of Spirit. But it was temporary because Moses' spirit had no access, no permanent access to life. You and I, who are born again and who have been renewed in our spirit, we have permanent access to the Spirit of the living God. And it doesn't matter about your gifting or anointing or how much you've been through or how many mistakes you've made. If you've been born again, you are a joint heir with Christ. If you've been born of spirit, you are spirit. If you've been born again, you are now a co-inheritor with Jesus, the Son of God. If you've been born again by spirit, through spirit, in spirit, if your spirit is now living, you are now in God. Spiritual nature is not the issue. God doesn't say, okay, you're perfect in your spirit, but because you keep making mistakes in your soul, I'm going to reject myself. He doesn't. Because we are in him, he can't. This is part of the process that he set up. As far as he's concerned, we are in him, and that's that. What we're going through now as individuals, we each have our own path. What we're going through now is the circumstances, the path that God has laid out for each one of us individually to get our wounds healed, to reveal the lies and so we can receive the truth, so we can receive eternal life, so that we can overcome our enemies, learn how to live as spirit beings, so that we can be one in him, spirit, soul, and body. Now again, I think so far there's only been very few examples of anyone who has received the full Spirit of God. Now, God refers to the first Adam as a son. And his second Adam, Jesus. Now, in time, in this earth, we are all born in Adam. But if we are born again, we are born in Christ. So it's the habits, the simplicity of opportunity that each one of us has. Sometimes there's big things going on. A lot of times it's just an accumulation of little circumstances. How do we handle the little things? And I'd much rather God teach me what I need to know in the little things rather than having to hit me in the head with a 2x4. You know, a lot of people, they want to have experiences with angels and have God send them a telegram about what direction to go or a map or flaming sword. And I think it would be much better if we could just hear that whisper. We would be able to recognize this is the way. Walk in it. That we would have that confidence based on experience and trial and error that when we lift up our foot, God will place our foot exactly where it needs to be in the next step. Because it's about relationship and not about doing it right. And through our training, through our learning to hear him and experience his full nature, receiving that eternal life, this is relationship. This is our relationship with God. And the more we experience it, the less we are satisfied with anything else. Now, again, it's going to cost each one of us something different. And so we don't compare our walk with somebody else's walk. And yet there's a simplicity, a redundancy, where we can encourage. We can't do for one another, but we can go with one another. We can encourage one another. So even as we are learning to hear his voice and learn to distinguish his voice from all others, and we're not just talking about, oh, when he talks and says something, but his voice can be a stirring within you or an uneasiness or a lightness or an encouragement or a sound or a knocking or a waking up at night or a heaviness. But the more, what are we learning? Lord, is that you? A fear. Lord, is that you? What's going on here? What are we learning? Not the techniques on how to deal with the enemy, but instead developing the habit of turning to God. Because it's not about doing it right. It's about being in relationship with him. Well, okay, once again, we didn't get too far, but hopefully you're encouraged. There's a simplicity of our relationship, a simplicity of our walk. And if you spend all your time on that simplicity, you will have lived this life well. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again the same time next Sunday Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. Have a great night.